The scripture passage for today is from Psalms chapter 19, verses 7 through 11. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight to the living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God. You may be seated. Welcome to the Living Water Church. What a blessing to be together, to again learn something new from His Word that we can apply to our lives. And you've come to a good Sunday because this is the beginning of a new series, as you can see, Creatures of Habit. And you know, it is rather easy for us to find ourselves getting into a rut from time to time where we just get into these patterns of doing the same thing over and over again. We repeatedly make the same decisions. We get into these routines, but often we're hoping for different results than the ones that we are always getting. And yet we don't take the time to evaluate these things. We are all creatures of habit. And that's the way that God has designed us to be. However, it's important for us to routinely evaluate these habits that we have developed and ask whether they're making us the people that God wants us to be. Are these habits taking me closer to God, or are they actually maybe pulling me away from God? So throughout this series, I'm going to be talking a lot about habits. And some of what I've learned come from two sources, two books. James Clear's book, Atomic Habits. If you haven't read that one, that's a great one on habits. And then Charles Duhigg's book, The Power of Habit. And I believe that in the Bible, God offers us just some new ways that we can live, some new habits that we can apply to our lives that can help us to live healthier lives that honor God and honor other people. And God has created us really as amazingly complex beings who are able to accomplish just extraordinary things, especially when we let the power of the Holy Spirit work through us. Author James Clear, in his book Atomic Habits, explains this, how we kind of develop these patterns in our life by looking at how the brain is designed. And he says there are two areas, the basal ganglia and the brainstem. These are the two regions where our habits and routines reside. And inside these locations, the brains are closely, they're connected to emotions, they're connected to pattern recognition, they're connected to our memories. However, you know, there's a totally different place where our decisions are made, and that is in that prefrontal cortex. And so our decisions are made in one part of our brain, but the habits are kind of in the back of the brain. And so how do they move from one to the other? Well, when you do something over and over and over again, You kind of make a groove in your brain that develops where these decisions from the prefrontal goes back to the ganglia, the basal ganglia, and it just becomes this routine in our life that we just automatically do. The front of our mind kind of shuts off, and the back kind of takes control. And I don't know if you've ever done this before, but you know, we just say you got your job where you always commute to every day. You just go back and forth every day, and that's kind of your commute. You go the same way every day, and then one day you decide, you know, I'm going to go to Kroger. Got to get some groceries, but it's on the way to work. And so you're heading to Kroger, and you find yourself at work and not at Kroger. He's like, how did this happen? I meant to go to Kroger. Why am I at my job? Well, it's because we shut off the decision-making. We just kind of went on overdrive. We just kind of went on just doing what we've always done. And so that's why we do certain things like brush our teeth in the morning and at night, hopefully. You know, we crave sweets. After dinner, we hit snooze button 14 different times when we wake up. Why we chew our fingernails when we get nervous. These are all things that are habits. The routines, we don't really think about them. They just kind of happen. I mean, even when we go to church, we have certain patterns. We have certain habits. When we arrive at church, you know, some come rather early. Some get to church 10 seconds before it begins. Some get to church just about every week about 10 minutes late. All right? We all have then this certain place where we like to sit. You know, we have certain people we like to sit next to. Some people even get to early to church just so they can sit in their preferred spot. Then we have habits of how we engage with worship. Some people every week stand and sing with all their hearts. They move to the music. They worship with their whole body. They sing with emotion. Then there are some that stand but stay kind of completely still. They will clap, but only when the worship leader suggests it, and stop as soon as possible. And they sing, but with a very respectable volume. Then there are those who do not engage. Sunday after Sunday, it's a habit. It's a Sunday routine. And it's uncomfortable for us when we try to do it differently than the way we're used to worship. So to help us illustrate this during our Sunday, this series that we're going, just to illustrate about our Sunday routines, each week during this series, I'm going to do something different in the worship service than what we usually do. This week, we're sitting at tables. Now, there's a practicalness to this week, because after we have our service, we're going to eat a meal together, so the table's already set up for this. But having tables for worship disrupts our habit of sitting in a certain place, and it can make us uncomfortable. It breaks the cycle of our habit. And so James Clear introduces this cycle-like nature of habits. It can be boiled down to a three-step process. First, there's the trigger, the cue, the thing that causes us to kind of get into this routine that we've already developed in our life. Something begins the habit loop. You're hungry. You're bored. You're frustrated, sad, or tired. Someone insults you or cuts you off in traffic. Someone shares some juicy gossip. So something triggers it, this habit, and that leads to a response to it. And the response is our decision of what we do to that trigger. We eat too much, or we take part in the gossip, or we binge watch Netflix. We self-soothe with a substance. And this then leads to an outcome. So you've got the trigger. The trigger causes the habit to begin, the response, and then you have the outcome afterwards. We feel guilty. We feel too full. We put someone else down to lift ourselves up. And the outcome helps us determine whether or not we're going to make that decision again, whether we're going to try to break that cycle or continue it. And the key to changing our habits and outcomes is changing our response to the trigger, to the cue, to the thing that engages us into this cycle. And so with God's help, we can break this loop and start fresh. It all comes down to us being intentional in our living and the choices we make. Charles Duhigg, in his book, The Power of Habits, has this quote. He says, "The difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do." Kind of simple, but it's got a lot of truth that stings a little. The difference between who you are and who you want to be is what you do. Do you ever feel like the person you are right now is not the person that you want to be? That there's just this sense that God wants more for our lives than what we're currently experiencing. And so we have to recognize that our actions and our habits, those choices we're making, they originate in our minds, and a renewed mind leads to new habits. A renewed mind will lead to new habits. In the book of Romans, Paul's addressing the early church. And in Romans, is talking to the Christians from Rome. They were living in one of the most hostile and difficult areas in the world at that time. And these early Christians were living under Roman rule, and the Romans believed in many gods, like Apollo and Jupiter and Venus, the Roman emperor. He was considered to be the son of God, to be worshipped. And so these gods were powerful in their mind as long as people worshipped them. If people stopped worshipping them, then their gods got weaker and bad things happened. So they were they got very upset if you didn't follow or adopt their religious practices when Rome took over an area. And so in this climate, Paul was asking the early church to live set apart. That was a dangerous thing for them to do in Rome. But he was saying, live set apart as Christians and followers of God. Make godly decisions by saying yes to the things you should say yes to and no to the things you should say no to, even if they go against the culture. Sound familiar? So in chapter 12 in the book of Romans, Paul is addressing our patterns of living, the choices that we are making. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern. You could say, do not conform to the habits, to the thought processes of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So Paul mentions something very key here in this verse. He talks about patterns, talks about habits. If we're going to live lives set apart for Christ, then we've got to develop patterns and habits that are different than the world's patterns and habits. And in order to do this, we've got to renew our minds. We've got to think differently. When we do this, Paul says, then we're going to be able to attest and approve what God's will is for our lives. So we've got to learn to develop a sound mind that knows and believes what is true so that we don't act upon information that's misleading or false. And that can be really tough to do. Really tough to discern what is true and what is false in our culture today, because false is so relative. Truth is so relative. You know, it doesn't matter what you say as long as you get what you're hoping to get. It's one of the challenges of elections, because what do you believe? And the news that you listen to, what do you believe? Everything is spun to make you do something different, whether you're on one side of the aisle or another. It's just how our world is engaged in this idea of truth. I mean, you could just look back at the pandemic and all the things, how hard it was to figure out what is true. One side says this, one side says this. And what is true? It was so hard to navigate that. And I think we can kind of look back and see which side was closer, but you still had a lot of untruth. No matter who you listened to, it was challenging. And so we have to decide, what are we going to base our truth upon? And so many of us have developed this pattern of listening to worldly voices. And these voices shape the way we think about ourselves, the way we think about politics. They shape the way we spend our time. They shape the things that we value. They often shape the bad habits that we get stuck in. Our minds are infiltrated, and our lives just kind of follow suit. These lies, they're like a poison to our soul, and we have to learn to stop letting them sink in. Years ago, when the Western United States was being settled, roads back then were just wagon tracks. And after hundreds of wagons passed the same way, these tracks began to develop deep ruts and grooves in the earth. And these rough trails posed serious problems for those who were journeying on them. In fact, on one of these winding paths, they had a sign that was posted that said, "Avoid this rut or you'll be in it for the next 25 miles. Some of us this morning are stuck in a rut, a pattern and a habit because of something that someone had said to you years ago. And you've been stuck in this rut much longer than 25 miles. Things that were said, you're a failure. You're unlovable. You won't amount to anything. God doesn't love you." Whether it was handed down from friends or family or a teacher or just the culture around us, we run the risk of never hearing the truth when these lies are just stuck inside. Things like, you are loved by God. You are His child. That wasn't your fault. And we may need to renew our minds by replacing those old voices, some of them very, very old, and that old information with new ones. So a renewed mind leads to new habits, but only when you have used the Bible as your source of truth. So the way to combat these habits of believing lies is to embrace a habit of trusting truth. And as people of God, we believe that the Bible, that's the source of all truth. It is what has authority over our lives. It is the living Word of God. And so we heard some of the verses from Psalm 19 that Quentin read for us. I want to read just an expanded passage of that and let these words just kind of sink into us, talking about the Scriptures. It says, "The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, and each one of them is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant. They are a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all these sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I'll be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and redeemer." Listen again to some of those words that's used to describe the promises of God. They are reviving for the soul. They are clear and right. They bring joy to the heart. They're precious as gold. They're sweeter than honey. Why does the writer have these claims? Because he has made this habit of reading the Scriptures and meditating on God's Word and hiding these truths inside of his heart. So how do we replace the words of the world that affect much of what we do with the words of the Bible? And how does this, change our habits? Well, we really need to have a kind of disruption to change our responses to the triggers of life. You've got the trigger. We need something to disrupt the response so it's different. All right, so let's just think about how that might work. We can get so used to these negative impulses that it just kind of becomes a rut for us. We start believing what is being said to us. And we start to embrace some of these harmful thoughts as if it's truth. And we begin to embody falsehoods in how we think. And we start to believe these thoughts are our own thoughts rather than lies of the enemy. And what we believe, you know, impacts how we live. And how we live impacts who we become. And what we really need is we need a disruption. Knew it was coming. Yep, you knew it was coming. Still, something to wake us up to what is true. Whenever we sense that we're taking in these negative thoughts and they're starting to settle into our hearts, these degrading words, these poisonous judgments, we can then turn to the Bible. And it could be that disruption for us and be reminded of promises like these. When we come to Jesus, we find rest. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, God will strengthen us when we're weak. Isaiah 40, 31, God has a plan for our lives. Jeremiah 29, 11, God will forgive us when we confess our sins. 1 John 1, 9. These are just a few of the mind-renewing truths that are found in the Bible. And they can keep us from falling victim to the lies of this world. A renewed mind leads to new habits, but only when you have used the Bible as your source of truth. So, reading the Bible is a life-changing habit. As creatures of habit, we can develop new routines that will change the way we think about ourselves and how we make choices as we live day to day. Carving out a regular time in our mornings or our evenings to get that Bible inside of us is a perfect way to begin to fill your mind with God's promises. Psalm 119, verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long." How does that verse compare to your own thoughts about God's Word? It is a love for God's Word that causes us to read and study it every day. The writer says that he meditates on it day and night. This word meditate, it's the Hebrew word sika. It means a deep reflection, a musing about something. It means just sitting with it and letting it rest on us and considering and mulling it over. To meditate on God's Word is just to fully immerse yourself in the text. And the more we read the Bible then in turn begins to read us. And it shows us things about ourselves that we would not otherwise see. The spiritual discipline of reading Scripture, it develops within us a faithful heart and a sound mind. And what we repeat over and over and over and over again when things are going well will be recalled then in times of trial and struggle. And so I remember in my own life when I was a teenager and I decided that reading the Bible needed to be a part of my life each day. And at first, truthfully, when I began this habit of reading the Bible, I found it to be rather boring and dry. It was like reading a history book to me. At first, it was just something I needed to get done on my checkoff list each day. It was a chore at first. And then I started noticing that if I skipped a day of reading, maybe I was too busy that morning and slept in a little bit more than I should have, that day was just a little bit harder for me to get through as a believer. I began to see that connection. And then after a while, not only did I find that the book was a history book, I began to see it as a book that was really a life guide for me. That I found there was just a lot of solid advice there. And after a while, not only did I find the Bible to be just this great source of advice, it also became a joy. It became a comfort for me. It became, you know, just something that I was longing for. And it started becoming God speaking directly to me. It wasn't just the words of the Apostle Matthew and John and Paul and the disciples Mark and Luke. They became God's words to me. at just the right moment, speaking to my heart and giving me strength I needed for the day ahead. Creating a habit of meditating on God's Word, it takes intentionality. It doesn't happen by chance. So let's just consider some ways that you can make Scripture reading and studying and memorizing just a daily part of your life. You know, if you've been kind of out of practice at this, or maybe you've never done this before, consider just starting with one of the Gospels, like the book of Mark or Luke. You know, just reading daily the story of Jesus' life and his death and resurrection. Or maybe if you've read kind of the Gospels, but you haven't read much else of the Bible, then start with some of the letters. Start with 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, where you hear of God's great love for us. Or the book of James, that has so much just advice, practical advice. Maybe you have been reading the Bible, but you pretty much stick just to the New Testament. Well, maybe add some Old Testament to your reading plan. Remember that the Old Testament, that was Jesus' Bible that he studied and often quoted from. And a great place to start is just in the Psalms and Proverbs. 31 chapters of Proverbs, 150 Psalms. So it's easy to cover both books with daily readings over a month's time if you just read one Proverbs and five Psalms every day, except for when you get to Psalm 119, because that takes forever to read. So you read that one Psalm that one day. But after 31 days, you will be through both books. I know someone who that's just a part of their reading plan. They read the Psalms and Proverbs every day, just throughout the year. You know, maybe choose a few verses to commit to memory by writing and printing them out and putting them someplace where you're going to see it regularly, in your bathroom or in your car, it's just someplace where you'll see it and you can read it over and over again and you can just meditate on that verse or two. You know, a great place to start that is just on your connection card. Every week I give you a passage, a verse or two that you can memorize. Take that verse, write it out, make it something that's going to be your meditation for the week. You know, maybe you can subscribe to a daily text or an email service to receive a daily devotion or a scripture passage. Seedbed has some great devotionals they'll send you each day if you sign up for that. There are many other ministries that do this. And the Bible app is such a wonderful tool that'll help you get started with this, where they just have a ton of reading plans. They have reading plans for a week, reading plans for a month, for a whole year. They have reading plans on topics like joy or peace or grief, or, you know, there's just all kinds of things you can choose from. How you go about incorporating more time reading the Bible is less important than making sure that you're committed to reading or listening to Scripture on a regular basis. One of the great things about the Bible app, if you put that on your phone, it'll actually read it to you if you want it to. You can listen to it as you're driving in your car about the day. But just choose one of those areas this week. You know, what are the poisonous thoughts that you have allowed into your heart that you really need to listen to some promises of God to get them out? Choose one way that you can add that scripture to your life to make that a reality. Maybe even start a journal of your scripture journey. Now, just one thought about that journaling. What if you have a smartphone, what if you had a journal on your phone that you could just open up every time you had a poisonous thought that came into your mind? You know, you're never going to get this right. You're not good enough for this. All these thoughts, these negative thoughts, and you put it in that journal. Wrote it down. If you can speak it, you can do the speak to text. And then when you got home, you used your, you know, Google or some other search engine to search the Bible and find a promise that contradicts every one of those thoughts you had that day. If you did that for a few days, it wouldn't take very long before you had a whole journal full of promises that speak directly to you and the challenges in your mind that you're dealing with from the thoughts from the past that need to be overridden with God's truth. What a powerful way to live out your life. Promises in the Scripture like nothing will ever separate you from the love of God, Romans chapter 8. Or being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6. It just wouldn't take long for that journal to be full of thousands of promises of God in the Bible. That's what I call a battle plan for victorious living. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, as we get into this subject of our habits, God, would you just help us to take some blinders off? Because habits just feel like who we are. It's patterns that's been a part of our life so much that we don't even think, could this be the best for me? Could how I spend my mornings be the best use of my mornings? Could how I use my free time be the best use of my free time? Could my conversations with my friends be the best use of words? So many patterns that are based on what the world does, what we see on TV, what we see our friends, our family do. God, would you help us to take those blinders off, to let nothing in our life be off limits to your Holy Spirit's prodding. Help us to be willing to admit some of the poisonous thoughts that have been inside of our minds since we were kids, that have been a trigger for habits that are not healthy. Some thoughts that have been there from people that we care deeply about, and yet that poisonous thought got stuck because of a careless word spoken. Help us to weed those things out. Help us to evaluate these choices, these patterns, and what is triggering them. And may you be that disruption in our life, your word, the Holy Spirit's presence, that can help us to develop healthier choices so we can be the people you've called us to be. God, I pray this in Jesus' precious name for each one of us. Amen. Amen. Well, this time we're going to take communion, and hopefully you were able to get a communion cup as you came in. If you didn't happen to, we have them in the back. The ushers have them. They'd be happy to bring one to you. Anyone need one? You just raise your hand and they'll hand you one. Why do we want the best in our life to be? Why do we want our thoughts to be based on God's word? Why do we want to do the painful rest of perspective, creating godly patterns? It all goes back to what Jesus did for us. It all goes back to God's love for us on the cross. To reflect on that for a moment. Jesus met with his disciples, that upper room experience. He knew what was coming. But he loved us so much that he said, I want you to remember this. Remember what I did. And so we take a moment and we remember. This bread now represents Jesus' body as he went to the cross to die for us. Let's be thankful. Take it. And this cup represents Jesus' blood for the forgiveness of sins as he died on that cross. But then he was rose from the dead the 3 days later in power, sitting at the right hand, our friend, our comforter, the one that we can go to in anything. Let's thank him for it. Amen. God, again, we thank you for being willing to send your son Jesus to this earth. And Jesus, we thank you again for being willing to be our example of the love of God, of what a faithful servant of Jesus, of you, is like as we follow the patterns of how you lived life, staying connected to God and the Holy Spirit. We just thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen.